What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are talking about being overly opinionated. But today is actually a very special day because my mom is in town. Yes, Meemaw's here. And next, I have received a lot of emails about family discipleship success stories. One from a brother in Canada. He has four kids, 18 through 12. He said, I've been batting about 500 on this. And the idea is that he brings the Bible to the dinner table. Often I've run into the problem that when the kids are busy, homework, other activities, they eat dinner and then disappear. And my wife and I are left sitting there alone. Instead, before they scatter, as eating is wrapping up, I ask everyone to bring their Bibles to the table. We read a passage together. And like you mentioned in your podcast, I ask each individually to make a contribution with an observation and how it speaks to them individually. I thought that was a cool story, especially some of you are at that season of life where you have multiple teenagers at home and it's like a miracle to get them to eat together. And maybe you're thinking that could be a helpful way of getting some family discipleship time in. So please, if you have had success or you're learning or you've been challenged to actually implement this, please share that right into greg@transform.org. I would love to prompt you all to excel all the more in good works. Okay, today's topic is being overly opinionated. And this does come from a listener who really prompted the idea and said, hey, I'd love to just hear your thoughts on how do we think of ourselves if we're too opinionated and how do we care for others and love them appropriately without kind of feeding into their 2,000 opinions on every topic. Well, let me give you a couple of indicators that you might be too opinionated. Are you ready? And I don't know why I say opinionated. Maybe it's opinionated, but I feel like the O should be an O sound. Orangutan. Let's see. Onion. Ooh, that messes it up. Onion. I don't know. I'm sticking with it because it's going to be weird if I don't. So opinionated. All right. Here's one way to know that you're too opinionated. You are contentious in conversations. Like you have to clarify every little perspective that you have, or you're in a conversation about football and then you actually have to critique that idea. You're in a conversation about food, and then you have to critique that idea. In every little conversation, you have your own opinion that you want to volunteer in, and not just volunteer for the sake of conversation, but you're also trying to advance it, like, hey, this is what is right. What will happen is that you begin to have shallow relationships. So people don't really want to converse with you. So long term, they see you and they're like, oh, hey, how are you? How's the weather? Okay, well, great to see you. Take care. Because we're concerned about engaging in conversation where we're just going to get into this laborious conversation where you have to express more and more of your opinions. And we kind of have to just sit there quietly and take it. So shallow relationships have to happen. Excuse me. People get quiet when you arrive. Have you ever noticed that? Like you kind of walk into a conversation and it just dies. You should ask yourself, like, do you hijack it? Are you easy to converse with? Even in spiritual matters, and this is where it gets murky. If you guys remember Transform Season 2, I was counseling a lady, so a mom, and she was wondering like how much spiritual disagreement to bring up with her kids. And what was happening is she was beginning to divide her relationship with her kids because she was just being kind of pushy about God, the church, Bible, all of the spiritual matters that can exist. So when a spiritual matter comes up, like you just can't leave it alone. You feel like you're denying the Lord. You're failing to be bold by letting that spiritual weird belief continue to go forward. So instead, you have to critique it and you have to volunteer your opinion. Another way of observing if you are too opinionated is that you must critique what you disagree with. Because for some of you, as you listen to this, silence means agreement. So if I don't actually volunteer my opinion, then you're going to think I agree with you. So I have to say something. It's like, well, not exactly. That's not really the way that it happens. See, this is the way that it really happens. So instead of saying, oh, that's interesting, moving on. Oh, that's your perspective. Okay, moving on. We feel like we have to critique it. Otherwise, you will see us as agreeing with you. So this is a challenge because many of you have clarity. You've thought through things. I think the longer you live life, the more preferences and opinions you start to develop. And then if you're not careful, those opinions can really start to hijack others. If you become too opinionated of a person, what happens is the only people that want to be around you are very quiet, passive people. And that isn't that a weird way to say that? Like, the only people that want to be around you, that are willing to befriend you and stick around, are just the quiet types. And I've seen in relationships where the husbands to very opinionated ladies, they just start to be the quiet bump on a log type of dude. It's like, well, she has many convictions and he has negative convictions. You know, he's in the negative on opinions and she's in the surplus on opinions. And so you're just thinking, well, how did that happen? Well, it's because if I'm too opinionated, then the only people that will stick around are people that are just kind of willing to deal with my 2,000 preferences. I think some of the most opinionated people are the smartest people, and they're often some of the most educated people. So it doesn't mean that that is exclusive, but it does mean if you've thought through something and you've studied that before and you've given significant and intense thought to it, maybe even using the scripture in that process, that you're then saying, well, I believe this to be true, I've researched it, and I want to share with you why I believe my opinion to be accurate. So individuals that have thought it through already are often some of the most opinionated people. And I'm not necessarily saying that in a positive way. Okay, if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, open it up to Romans chapter 14. This is kind of like the success of what you do when you have a conviction and an opinion, and you're not cramming it down the throat of other people. So remember that the Romans in this section of Scripture, they're actually pushing for holidays to be observed, certain types of foods to be eaten and avoided. And Paul is really giving them a framework for thinking about their convictions and opinions. Chapter 14, verse 1, he says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Sorry, vegetarians. Maybe you're physiologically weaker. That's what happens when you have too much soybeans. Sorry about that. Drink a glass of milk. Come on. Okay, all right, back one point. Verse 3, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Well, Paul is, first of all, giving them a framework to think about their own opinions and convictions in the church, and he's saying, look, if you have a different perspective on food, make sure that you're not despising and you're not judging, that each person has to give an account before God, verse 4. So you just need to, verse 5, you need to have your own mind fully convinced. You need to have clarity for yourself. Let me give you a framework to start with. And this is something I've talked about in some of our conflict resolution episodes. And this is something that I teach semesterly. I don't even know if that's a word, but I teach it semesterly here at the university, which is that you have to know what's a first order, second order, third order doctrine. Like you need to have some rubric by which you can say, look, that is a non-compromisable and I will never let go of that. And that is a compromisable and I'm willing to accommodate your preferences and I want to honor your perspective. So for instance, if someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm not really sure the resurrection happened. It's like, whoa, like, wait a minute, like big red flag. No, we're not just going to get along and just try to agree. It's like, no, this is an absolute of the Christian faith. But if you come to me and say, hey, I think that everyone should homeschool their kids. It's like, oh, you know, like, have you tried that lately? It's like a war zone. Is that a biblical command that you have to homeschool your kids? No, not necessarily. It's something that you have biblical right to do, but it doesn't mean everybody has to agree on that exact issue. So that is called theological triage, and there is an actual rubric called the level of doctrines. And that level of doctrines, it helps you know what's the first, second, third, fourth, and it gives you a working rubric. It's not always easy to classify each belief and doctrine, but it does give you a working rubric. So what's the difference between a conviction and an opinion? Well, first of all, a conviction has greater biblical clarity, meaning the Bible talks more about it. And so I have that conviction at the end of chapter 14. I have this confidence before the Lord. Why? Because that is what God's word says. So an opinion is something that I am not, it's not a conviction. I'm not as convinced of it. And why not? Because I have less biblical clarity. So what's the difference between an opinion and a conviction? A conviction I have more biblical clarity on, so I hold that deeper. And an opinion I have less biblical clarity on. So I don't really know. I haven't really gotten that from the scripture. That's more of like a preference. And my opinion, I'm not pushing for it because it's not really biblically founded. It's more like Greg Gifford's opinion on a matter. So we have to do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'll give you a couple of examples of each. So we'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. But quick question. If I said Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at TMU, would you know exactly what TMU stands for? I hope you would, because I hope you've been listening to Transform for quite a while, and I talk about it often, but it's the Master's University, in case you don't know. And the Master's is not just a university with a Bible class tacked on. TMU is actually where men and women go to study theology and counseling at a depth that actually changes how they live. TMU is shaping students who are serious about Scripture. So if you want to study at a place where biblical convictions aren't side electives, but the core of the programs, then you need to check out masters.edu/transformed. Now, maybe you're not heading back to school, and that's okay, but you also still want to grow. We all want to be growing, right? And if that's the case, listen up. Fortis Plus has got to be in your possession. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. That's our mobile app. It's absolutely free. No subscription or gimmicks. Just open it up and you're going to see hundreds of hours of audio and video content available to you to listen to at any time of day or night. And we're adding to it daily. It's not just static content. It's content that's being added to every single day. You're hearing Dr. Gifford right now. But on Fortis Plus, you're also going to find Brad Bigney, Libby Glosson, Dr. John Kratz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Todd Friel, and others. These are Christian leaders that are speaking into real-life issues, not from a pedestal, but from the trenches. So if you want a take on parenting that actually makes sense biblically, or if you're wondering what forgiveness looks like when the trust has been lost, or you're trying to untangle confusion from church hurts, it's all there. You're going to find it at Fortis Plus. You can download it right now from wherever you download your apps on your smartphone, or you can go and download it from your smart TV now as well. Whatever smart device you have, you'll find the Fortis Plus app in the App Store. Now, the reason this is all free are gospel partners. They are quiet and they are faithful and they give monthly to make this content available to anyone, anywhere. And if you've benefited from what Fortis Institute has been able to put out and you're already faithfully giving to your local church because that's priority number one, then I want to ask you to begin praying about maybe joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner as well. You've got questions, we've got answers, and you can find those right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about the overly opinionated person. And I ended last segment by saying, you got to have a difference between a conviction and an opinion. A conviction, an example of a conviction would be your belief on the sign gifts. And as Christians, we know that we can disagree and still be Christians on the nature of the sign gifts. So do you believe in prophecy, the gift of tongues, healing, or do you believe those have ceased like I believe? Well, we can disagree on those. There is a significant amount of scripture that speaks to them, but we can disagree on those and still be Christians. Whereas an opinion, it has even less biblical clarity than something like spiritual gifts might have or sign gifts might have. I'm going to use the homeschool analogy again. You know, there are those that are very strong on why we need to avoid public education, why public school teachers are trying to warp our brains and minds. Like, there are those that really have strong opinions, but at the end of the day, you cannot go to a singular verse that says, you must homeschool your kids. You can't do that. And for many of you, just so you know, I currently, well, I don't do it. Oh, man. I just had a PTSD moment. I don't homeschool my kids. My wife homeschools our kids. So I am a homeschool fam as of right now, but that generally changes just about every year depending on the needs of our boys. So I'm not anti-homeschool. I just know it's not a biblical command to follow through on. So what is an opinion that it's helpful to homeschool your kids? There's a myriad of things that go into that. Where you live, what type of schools are around you, your spouse's giftedness, most likely it's a wife that's going to homeschool and stay home with the kids. There's a myriad of things, but no one can say, Greg Gifford, thou shalt homeschool your kids. That's an opinion. So how do I begin to think through opinions and convictions? Well, I think Romans 14 really gives you that framework for thinking through the difference. First of all, I do think it's important to have your own personal conviction. That's verse 5. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his neighbor's mind. That's not. In his own mind. You have clarity where? In your own mind, in your own convictions. So my convictions and my opinions are for moi. They're not for you. I am not to transpose my convictions onto you. In fact, that sounds like a great way to become a legalist. The next thing you know, I'll have all these rules about how you can't dance, smoke, chew, date the girls that do. Like, I'll have all these rules about why you can't do certain things because that's my conviction. And as I've said many times on Transform, I do come from a more conservative, independent Baptist background. So there were many rules that we could and could not do growing up. But now we have liberty to say, this is my personal opinion, and this is not something that you have to agree with. So have your own opinion. Have your own conviction. Don't try to convince the other person. That's the second point. Actually trying to win someone over. Verse 1 says, as for one who is weak in the faith, that's the vegetarian. Ooh, sorry, guys. Welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. You're actually showing hospitality and you're accepting one another, even though you have diverse opinions on a matter. And while it may not be my conviction that every child needs to be homeschooled, I can get along with a family that's really big on homeschool and they see it as superior than all other forms of education. I could get along with them so long as they're not trying to advance their opinion on me. So when you have that opinion, verse 1, don't try to convert people to your position. Have clarity to yourself, but I am not evangelizing my opinions. I would be glad to share them if you want to hear about it. I would be glad to share why I do this and why it's important to me. But I'm not trying to convert you to believe what I believe. That leads to disagreement. And when disagreement happens, verse 3, you are not passing judgment on someone who disagrees with your opinion. So if you disagree with my opinion, I think something like, that's totally your call. Before the Lord, you have to give an account for yourself, and I don't have to give an account for you. So I am not trying to be the arbiter. I am not trying to be the regulator of everyone's opinions. Frankly, I myself am just trying to lessen my own opinions, nonetheless, of try to have others agree with my opinions. So look at verse 19 if you still have Romans 14 open. This is a great principle. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Can we be in peace with someone without totally agreeing in our opinions? Absolutely. I hope so. Otherwise, I don't know how you're going to stay married for any period of time. Yes, absolutely. We can have differing opinions. You can have differing convictions and be at peace with one another. In fact, part of the diligence to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, is that you're saying, I respect your convictions, and conversely, you respect my convictions. So we're not evangelizing, we're not trying to convert, and we're not judging each other when we disagree with each other's convictions. We honestly are able to say, look, that's your call, and before the Lord, you have the right to do that. And it really is a sweet thing when you're fellowshipping with other believers and they have clear convictions, but they're not trying to cram them down your throat and they're not judging you when you don't do what they do. It's like, whoa, that is a different level of maturity. So we live at peace, but not total agreement. Does that sound weird? We live at peace, but not total agreement. And really, that diversity in the body of Christ is intended to help promote unity. And I think there's an argument to be made that a diverse church and being surrounded with diverse people actually helps you be stronger in your convictions and more biblical in your convictions. And it really wasn't until I lived in South Korea where I started to reevaluate what was more like an American tradition and what was a biblical conviction. So there's a helpfulness in being exposed to diverse people. So if you're overly opinionated and you're hearing this, just know that this is not a matter of you being faithful to the Lord, that you're probably more like a disagreeable person. And if you think something like, well, that's just who I am, like I just have my opinions, that's fair. But remember that you're called to be more like Christ. And those sayings of like, this is just my personality, those are often ways of deflecting a need for you to repent of being disagreeable and unkind and to put on a compassionate heart where you actually care about the way that you're coming across to others. The lack of empathy is to put on compassion. So if you don't care how you're coming across, what's the biblical put on? Colossians 3:12, compassion. You will strain relationships and you're going to attract very passive, quiet people. And I know that may feel unfair to your friends, but the only people that are going to stick around are the ones that can just deal with you, and they're going to be the quiet types, in all fairness. I often wonder, do I have to be the loud voice in my social groups? Like, do I have to be the dominant loud voice, or can I fellowship and befriend other really strong people? Because if I can fellowship and befriend other really strong people, then I know that I'm not being too domineering and trying to be too opinionated. I know that. So I think that's a great litmus test for you. Like, do you have close relationships, and do you have close relationships with other strong people? Because if you do, that's a great indicator that you're not overly opinionated. So if you're looking for a couple of practical steps, the first is what I've already told you already. I think you really need to delineate between a conviction and an opinion. And if you don't have that rubric, honestly, I think you're going to be really difficult and you're going to take strong stands on things that you shouldn't take a strong stand on. So learn to differentiate what has more biblical clarity and what has less biblical clarity. So create those two categories. Is this an opinion or is this a conviction? Next, I would encourage you to contextualize your opinions, meaning I am doing my best to not have as many. I want to have less, not more. In fact, Stuart Scott, he is a professor at Bob Jones University. He taught here at the Master's University for many years. He taught me in one of his sessions, he said, have less opinions. If the Bible doesn't say it, I don't need to have it as an opinion. It is negotiable. Whereas I am not Martin Luther taking a stand on whether homeschool should be an option or not. I'm not going to do that. And all of these issues that have less biblical clarity, I'm not taking a stand on those issues. If the Bible doesn't say it, I don't need to have it, and it is renegotiable and negotiable. So before you're like, yeah, that sounds like a yellow belly, like you're never going to stand up. No, what do you take a stand for? The first order doctrines and some of the second order doctrines. Yes, but when it comes to my opinions that have less biblical clarity, I am not Martin Luthering this place, and I'm not using that in a derogatory way, but I'm not nailing my opinions to the wall of a church somewhere. I am doing my best to be a person who is agreeable and understanding and compassionate. So if I need to work on having less opinions, then that is a worthy goal, because then I will be less pushy and less frustrated. And I'm not trying to be Mr. Vanilla, but on the other side, I don't want to have an opinion on everything and be so frustrated by every little detail of how you park, how you walk, how you wear your clothes, how you open your Bible, how you think about the, like, I don't want to get into that. So learn to contextualize your opinions and then work to have less opinions. Here is the real question. Can you relate to people who don't agree with you and cultivate an environment of peace? And if you can't, people that don't agree with your opinions, if you just can't be around them, you do need to work on that. And perhaps this is a 24-minute way of saying you got to work on being an agreeable person if that's you. If you're relating to those that are like that, unfortunately, you can't change them. So they are having to discern what type of relator to you are they going to be. If they're going to be overly opinionated, it's going to be really hard to have a close relationship with them unless I just kowtow to whatever they say. So think it through, be gracious, and in the end, work on having less opinions to promote the unity of the Spirit. So let me pray for us, and we got to be done for today. Lord, we know that there are clear things that we are willing to take a stand for as Christians, and there are other things that we are willing to renegotiate. That doesn't make us compromisers. It makes us agreeable, wise people. Give us the wisdom and the discernment to figure out those categories and to be able to do that. And in the end, help us to be people that we are willing to renegotiate what is our own personal opinion under the authority of your word. May we exalt your word as that line in the sand that we will always hold to. So give us grace to be faithful to your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.